just because they're not going to be mom and pops owning 200 unit properties generally. So you're going to be good for mailers with probably up to 50, maybe 60 units in most cases. But we knew we wanted to go big. That's always been our goal, go big or go home. So that's it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Noel Walton, he's an Army veteran and a co-founder of the Joint Chiefs of Real Estate. They are a group of military veteran apartment syndicators. They buy in Texas and Ohio thus far. Noel, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, man, the pleasure's mine. Same three questions I ask every guest who comes to the show. Could you very quickly tell us, where'd you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
I started out active duty military using my VA loan, as a lot of military members do, and buy a house, live in it for a couple of years, go somewhere else, rent it out. Did that with a couple duty stations, made some extra cap on one out in Hawaii, actually. It was a nice duty station. Went to Alabama, not quite as nice, but cheap homes. So I got in there, started doing some fix and flips, doing some rehabs. My wife and I at the time, just going at it and making a little extra here and there. That's where it started. Next was discovering that we couldn't really scale the single family side of things. And we had two daughters and now they're 5 and 2. So it takes up a lot of our time, of course. And that really kind of made us refocus on what's our why. How do we scale? How do we do this with that? And give our girls the time that they need as well. That took me to the multifamily side of things. Got into that full bore January of 2020. Soon after, through my networking, met a couple other military guys who were also just getting into the space as well. And we co-founded what's now known as the Joint Chiefs of Real Estate. Call ourselves J-Corps, and came about that name because of each of us representing a different branch of the military. So we've got Army, we've got Navy, Marines, and previously Air Force, now Space Force as well.
That's fantastic, man. That's a unique, you know, I've expected all of you to have been from the same branch of the military. So walk us through that journey. How did each of you from various branches connect and then say, hey, let's do something?
It's a unique story. It's pretty awesome. But just as soon as I started getting into networking and all, I got on online Facebook groups and all, where a lot of people connect. I say, hey, I'm at Fort Hood. Who else is around this area investing in multifamily? And a buddy of mine, Miles Spetsios, Air Force captain at the time. I was an Army captain. We met up for coffee, just started talking. Hey, what are you doing? What are your goals? Really, we're on pretty much the same path, same goals, same vision. And, you know, I was like, hey, let's just stay in touch and underwrite a couple deals around the area and put some offers out there and see what happens. No long-term commitment. Let's just try it out. That's how it was born. Then shortly after, met our other partners, Tom Groves and James May. Tom Groves is a 26-year veteran of the Navy, a Master Chief, retired out of the Navy. James was a former Marine, now Foreign Service, and they all bring some wild, awesome skills to this team, and we all complement each other really well. But that's how we came together, putting offers out on deals, and we just closed our third deal, actually, about 2 weeks ago. So continuing to grow and big plans for 22.
Yeah, absolutely. Congrats. That's a lot of fun just hearing the organic way that that kind of came together. There's somewhere in this journey where you guys said, hey, we need another team member, or another team member could do X to help us grow. What were some of those pain points? And then how did you know when it was time to loop somebody else in?
We came together pretty quickly, actually. And I knew Tom early on, as we both had gone through the same educational mentorship program together. And this was right at the start of COVID. He and I were both part of a Zoom accountability group every morning at, like, I don't know, 5 a.m. Central Time. So I was on this lockdown during COVID. Every morning, that's where I was at, right there on Zoom, and we were talking. So we already had a rapport with each other. It wasn't until a little bit later that it all started coming together, when Miles and I had been talking through some deals, putting a couple of LOIs out, getting them rejected. But hey, we were getting experience. We were talking to brokers, all of that. And my partner, James, actually, he was part of the same program, but being Foreign Service, he was in Israel at the time. But being from Dallas originally, he saw through, you know, online postings that I was in the same group with him. He's like, hey, you're in Texas. I'm from Texas. Let's get on a call. You know, it's just funny things like that, just like real random. So we just connected and it's like, hey, well, you want to come join Miles and I'll introduce you to him. Let's get on a call. And that's where it started. And it was like, hey, why not? We got Tom here. He's Navy. Let's bring him in. So once we got to 4, we're like, that's probably enough. Let's go with this.
How have you guys split up duties? I mean, that's one of the questions that so many people struggle with, is how to split things up without stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that we worked through a lot in the first few months. And a lot of it took getting into our first and second deals, even through our third deal, dialing that in. You know, for us, we knew, hey, Miles is great at underwriting. That's his, the spreadsheets and the numbers, you know, electrical engineering degree, cyber operations guy, like that's him. Totally. He's got that in. I've always been the relationship guy. I can underwrite, but that's not what gets me pumped, you know? So I love getting out, networking, meeting people, talking to brokers, all that. But, you know, we found there is overlap, and that's a good thing, actually, because it's not that everybody has the same superpowers. We all vary, but we find out who is the strongest. And we had several meetings where we would just run kind of a team building exercises where we would assess each other. Like, hey, here's what you're good at. Here's what you're bad at. You know, we were just brutally honest with each other. And that, you know, helped us bond together, but also gave us a clear picture and helped each of us understand things that we may not have known about it ourselves or see more clearly because we're getting that outside perspective. And I think that really helped us a lot developing our kind of a standard operating procedure or the tasks of where we fit in. You know, we do have primary and alternate positions for each role in the team too. So, you know, somebody's out on a trip somewhere, you know, hey, we're on Slack, you know, we can stay up with each other on there. But if somebody doesn't have the time, like for instance, if I'm due to my time difference here and where I'm at now in Austria, if something comes up that's short notice, one of the other guys will be like an alternate to whatever that tasking is. That's really what it came down to. And then just put that out on paper and kind of codify that and say, hey, you're lead on this, you're secondary on this. Your lead, your secondary, and go down the list, and really able to divide it up that way.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That was going to be my next question, is across multiple time zones, because you're in Austria. How many of your partners then live stateside, or do you have them still around the world?
The other three are all Eastern time zone right now. Right now, I'm staying up till midnight tonight for a team meeting, you know, 5 p.m. for them, so, or 6 p.m. So,
right. And that's coordinating one of those. But if your next person was in Israel and the next person was in Japan or somewhere else, it's like, okay, this gets really confusing. That was gonna be my question. Like, how are you guys finding the right time that everybody can get together and actually have a meaningful conversation? Which does bring me to my next question. How are you guys finding assets? I guess let's start there.
Assets, our primary source is brokers. So just going after broker relationships. We have done mailers in the past. Early on last year, that's a lot of what we did was, in addition to local, you know, smaller asset brokers, you know, some of those 20 unit or less. When we actually did our first deal was a 16 unit joint venture, but we knew we wanted to go bigger, faster. And we did jump into a 172 unit syndication immediately after that. Quite a jump, but that was due to a broker relationship. In fact, actually just the follow-up with that broker, because our first offer didn't get looked at. And found out the other one fell through. And man, there we were, you know, so that's a huge part of it. But like I said, it's for what we want to look at, the larger properties, generally, we want to go 100 units and up, depending on the market. The broker relationships are ideal. And those are key. I mean, it's going to be harder to find those larger properties through mailers, just because they're not going to be mom and pops owning 200 unit properties generally. So you're going to be good for mailers with probably up to 50, maybe 60 units in most cases. But we knew we wanted to go big. That's always been our goal, go big or go home. So that's it.
How did you guys do your capital raise on the 172 unit? That's a big jump out of the gate. And I'm assuming you guys syndicated that?
We did syndicate that. We syndicated as a 506B. And I will say there was no easy answer to that one. We worked our butts off. Absolutely. We did bring in some private equity that was able to cover some of that, but the largest portion of that was our team, our primary sponsor. You know, we had a small team that was also general partners with us that we all just worked our butts off. I mean, hitting the phones, hitting the emails, setting up calls. We had webinars going a couple times a week, just trying to get as many people in front of this as we could. You know, like, you need to check this out. And I tell you what, it was stressful. There are a lot of lessons learned from that. But I guess you say we call it a seminar. You know, we had some bumps and bruises along the way, but we got it to closing and we're doing good things with it now. We're super excited.
What were some of the lessons learned along the way on that first raise?
You know, looking back, ideally, you want to be raising capital long before you get under contract on a deal. it's a no-brainer now. One of those things we're like, hey, we think we can raise this, so let's just go. Sometimes you just got to send it, you know? He uses references like jumping out the door. You know, I'm a skydiver. So like, that's just my mentality. And like, hey, did my gear check? Door's open. Let's go. You know, like I said, lessons learned. And but we have, through all of that, we've not only learned a lot, but we have grown our investor base, continue to do that, continue to get our name out there. It's just about establishing credibility and establishing that track record.
Gotcha. That's absolutely true. And yeah, you don't know. I was talking to somebody there that they said they think their first raise was about $500,000. They were doing a Coach EB raise with someone else. And then their second raise was like $7 million. Because, you know, sometimes you just got to go and get it done. I'm like, that's courageous. But as you said, you should be raising either before the deal or between deals, wherever you are.
Yeah. Always be raising capital.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things. Start early. Always be raising. Always be establishing the network, telling everybody what you do. And be ready to educate just in simple terms. You know, sit down and say, hey, here's what I do. Don't make it complicated. Give them the basic structure. Here's what types of returns our investors have seen or similar partners of ours have done, things like that. You know, starting off too, we didn't have the huge track record. So a lot of people are like, hey, how many deals have you done? And then quickly you had to learn, hey, wait, it's not about you as an individual. It's about the team. It's about your sponsor and your team and all of the experience that comes together in that team. So that was one of the things we quickly learned to leverage, is that strength of the team and our primary sponsor. Hey, 20 years in the business, millions of dollars under management, and we are privileged to be a part of that. It's not just, hey, it's my whatever first, second syndication. It's all about how you display that and pitch the team.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You want to be very transparent, but at the same time, in that transparency, you can leverage the experience and success of the people that are part of your team, because they help guiding the deal and the ship. And if their name's on it, they don't want it to go down either. So that's a key early on when you're scaling, is to find team members that have more experience than you that you can add to the partnership. So that's absolutely fantastic. Noel, I've enjoyed this. Great conversation. Thanks for kind of telling us how you guys have really used your team and built your team to scale and scale quickly. I look forward to seeing what you guys do. I think you said you retire here in about a month or so. Is that right?
Yeah. Actually, we're looking at 2 more weeks left in the Army. As you can see, I'm already getting ready for that. So burning out the rest of that leave, and I'll be full-time. Actually, really have been full-time the last month. Really, that will be taking that leap for sure.
Man, that's awesome. Congratulations. Certainly appreciate you coming on today. Final 4 questions are this. What is one tool or resource you find you can't live without?
Shared calendar. I mean, several of them, but you know, like for our team, Slack has been huge. You know, maintaining multiple conversational channels and keeping them organized has been big. And having the shared calendar, and Calendly is another one. That's awesome, just to keep everybody's calendar available, send a link to someone, they can choose a time. It saves so much time. So those have been great. And then, of course, you can go into all kinds of different tools for different purposes. But Syndication Pro, if you're doing a syndication, you shouldn't be doing it without something like that.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. Question number 2, if you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Your most costly mistakes are going to be due diligence, honestly. That's where you identify anything that could be a potential issue that could cost you money down the road. So really knowing what you're looking for on that, and being thorough with it. Honestly, that's what I say. You know, just know what you're doing. Bring a good team. Just a tip for that. What we did actually on our largest one was having the property management company that we put in place. They had their own unit teams that go through, and each individual unit interiors, they'd go through those and within 3 minutes. I mean, it took any longer than 3 to 5 minutes per unit. And they would have this comprehensive list of everything that needed to be done in those units. So in addition to that, I mean, they had the tools, like it would have taken us forever to go to 172 units. They went through 172 in like 2.5 days, and just insane. So yeah, cover the interiors. And of course, at the same time, they're bringing out their trusted GCs and contractors for electric, for plumbing, for you name it. And they are walking the property the first day and getting everything assessed of the high ticket items. So honestly, leverage teams, leverage experienced teams to help you out. It will help you save time and money.
I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Okay. Yeah. For us, obviously, our team being all military and veterans, we definitely have a special place in our hearts for other veterans. The struggle that, you know, everybody knows, the issues of veteran homelessness, suicide, PTSD, being able to make a difference in that space, really help veterans out, to help save veterans from suicide, help house veterans in the homelessness issue. You know, we're partnering with some other team that active duty passive income. We're friends with them as well. We're working toward being able to partner with them to help provide tiny home for veterans as well. We're still getting to the point where we're really dialing in the specific methods of how we're going to go about it. But ultimately, that's our big picture goal, is saving lives, providing homes and better lives for veterans.
That's awesome. Noel, if listeners want to get in touch with you or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
You can look me up on Facebook or LinkedIn. Those are quick, easy. You can email me, noel@jcoreinvestments.com, J-C-O-R-E, investments.com. And we got our website, jcoreinvestments.com. Encourage everybody to check that out. Got some great educational materials on there, free passive investor guide, really some good stuff there. And you can set up a call if you're ever interested, find out our investor club, find out about what deals we have coming up this coming year, working some good stuff in the pipeline, and excited to, if that's something that interests you and if our team is a good fit, we'd love to partner and get to meet you.
Awesome. Noel, thank you for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.